There simply are many big lies, and exposing them, collecting evidence against them, determining the truth, and showing it to the poor public takes a lot of time and effort. In this book, I am just going to summarize quickly these simple science truths. It seems very likely that light is made of material particles and is not a transverse electromagnetic wave as is currently claimed. All galaxies, stars, and planets are corpuscular, so it seems logical that light is made of corpuscular bodies too. In fact, all matter is probably made of light particles, and the explanation is simple. When we light a candle, light particles from the candle and oxygen in the air are emitted into our eyes from the flame. And as time continues, the candle is made smaller in size. The only logical conclusion is that the light particles were in the candle and oxygen the entire time, and that the candle and all atoms are simply made of light particles, that the light particle is the basic atom of all matter. This is true even for the so-called antimatter. The collapse of science and the rise of the Dark Ages delayed progress until around 1228 AD, when the first president of the newly established Oxford University published a book theorizing that all matter is made of light. So this idea of light being made of material particles and being the basis of all matter is not only not new, but is really pretty ancient. A more precise explanation of light did not reach the public until 1664, when René Descartes' book Le Monde was published. In Le Monde, Descartes revives the theory that light is made of particles, comparing light to a ball, and is the first to describe the two major theories of light, the wave and corpuscular theory. And in 1672, Isaac Newton more clearly and firmly established the so-called corpuscular theory for light, in which light is made of material particles that move through any medium. Few people know that Newton heroically established the corpuscular theory of light. So initially, everybody agreed that light was made of material particles. The disagreement was only how light is transmitted, by many collisions of particles as a wave, like sound in air, or by particles moving mostly through empty space, like a ball. The corpuscular, or mostly empty space, rare collision theory of light held popularity for about 100 years. This period was, in my opinion, a bright and progressive period for science. But all that changed, at least in terms of physics. The rebirth of logical and intuitive science of the 1700s collapsed in the early 1800s, and we still live in the dim era that resulted. In 1801, Thomas Young was the first person to publish the frequencies and wavelengths, or particle intervals, of various colors of light, which is a great achievement, but Young supported a wave theory for light in the same paper. Young, in 1817, changed the traditional wave theory to claim that light is not a forward and backward, longitudinal or point wave, as Descartes and then Hooke had described, but instead is a transverse wave, a wave with an amplitude. Sadly, this, in my opinion, unlikely wave or undulatory theory replaced the more logical corpuscular theory in popularity. But the corpuscular side fought back, and in 1881, Albert Michelson reported an experiment that showed that the speed of light is unchanged relative to the motion of the Earth around the Sun through the supposed ether medium. This made the corpuscular theory for light appear to be the more accurate interpretation. But like the Empire, the wave camp struck back. To explain this experiment of 1881, and to try to save the theory of light as a wave that moves through an ether medium that fills the universe, George Fitzgerald in 1889 developed a theory that matter contracts just enough to account for the absence of any apparent difference in the speed of light that would be due to the movement of the Earth through a stationary ether. Michelson rejected these unlikely explanations even as late as 1927, writing, "Lorentz and Fitzgerald have proposed a possible solution of the null effect of the Michelson-Morley experiment by assuming a contraction in the material of the support for the interferometer just sufficient to compensate for the theoretical difference in path. Such a hypothesis seems rather artificial, and it of course implies that such contractions are independent of the elastic properties of the material.